My dear brothers and sisters, I made a promise to you 2 weeks ago that I would read a letter to you announcing Young and my decision about the call that we have received from Colorado. Let me read my letter. Our dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Young and I have arrived here for the first time early in October 2004. Seems like such a long time ago, yet for us it seems like it was yesterday. The first time I entered this sanctuary, this church, this nave, I had a rush of memories. Memories of home, because home looks like this. Home looks like this. Memories of my family, certainly, and the compelling thought that the Lord would call me to serve you. Mind you, I was a first-year seminarian, just like Thomas. And as I walked in here, I felt this compulsion. Lord, you're going to ask me to serve here. And I've done that with joy. Those compelling thoughts were the same as our Lord called this sinful man into the office of the holy ministry. Those compelling thoughts have now made it necessary to obey and follow the Lord as he has called us to a new congregation. I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to accept the call extended to me from our Lord to serve his saints at Shepherd of the Springs Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs. Even though Young and I will be departing from you, we still have work to do. We have much work still to do. And I have promised the leaders of this congregation that I would not leave anything undone. Therefore, I ask that the leaders of Zion, all elected leaders, including the president of Ladies' Aid and the president of LWML, to meet with me tomorrow evening here at 7 p.m. Please be present. Hearing that you will be soon in a vacancy isn't the news you wanted to hear today. I know this. Yet, my dear brothers and sisters, always remember that the Lord of the church provides pastors. He has been doing this. He's been providing for you for 175 years. Today, we're even going to celebrate the first man that he sent here. So even though your 23rd pastor will be departing from you, your 24th pastor will be provided to you by your Lord and Savior. Finally, I close with these words, which you will read again. I know you will read them again. Young and I ask you to remember us and smile. For it's better to forget than to remember us and cry. God's grace to you all. We now continue with the order of service as printed in your worship folder. Please rise. The confession of sins is found printed on page 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. We continue with the response of interest.
Great are the works of the Lord,
studied by all who delight in them.
We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might,
and the wonders that he has done.
He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel,
which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children,
that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn,
and arise and tell them to their children,
so that they should set their hope in God,
and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Great are the works of the Lord,
studied by all who delight in them.
Now the hymn. God, merciful Father, who made the light to shine out of the darkness, we thank you that you have shown mercy to us and our fathers, and by means of your servant, John Berger, you send unto us, this congregation, a servant to proclaim the pure light of your gospel. Keep us, we ask you, in sound doctrine, that we may steadfastly believe and worthily follow your saving word, and finally, by its holy comfort, depart in peace and joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is found written in the book of Isaiah, the 46th chapter. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things they carry are borne as burdens on weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but they themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales hire a goldsmith, and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind. You transgressors, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have proposed, and I will do it. Here endeth the reading. The epistle reading is found written in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God
in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Here ends the reading. Our Holy Gospel reading is found written in the Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the Gospel. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into this world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Here ends the reading. You may be seated for the hymn of the day.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is actually from Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And in this chapter, we hear of the Lord who sends, who provides. Thus, today we remember our leaders. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, German settlers had come to Van Wert County, Ohio. Life at the southern edge of the Great Black Swamp in the 1830s was very, very difficult. To describe their struggles today would not do them justice. Though you should know that what you see today here in Van Wert County isn't what they saw in 1830. By God's providence, he led them here, though, and they honored and they revered him. They revered God by clearing a small patch of the forest, and that small patch was right next to this building. Right next door is where John George Shum and his family cleared a small patch of land, and they built a log cabin church. Now, they may have used the name Zion, we don't know. By the way, the name Zion translates to stronghold or fortress. Johann Jorschum and his family built a church. They built a church on the rock, and it continues to stand today by our Lord's grace. They were the only Lutherans in this small patch of forest. Yes, there were Lutherans in Decatur, and there were Lutherans in Lima. And that sounds convenient to us, but to John George and his family, it's as if they were 1,000 miles away. Today, we jump in our car or our truck, and Decatur and Lima is a very easy drive. Just think in 1830. No cars, no trucks, no trains, no roads to speak of. Only a dark trail through the forest with patches of light whenever the canopy would by chance separate. Even traveling 3 or 4 miles in those days was very difficult for John George and his family. They had to struggle with the muck and the mire of the Black Swamp. John George and his family, by the way, had no pastor. They had to be content with reformists and enthusiasts who also had the challenge of converting a devout, staunch Lutheran who actually knew that Bible right over there, which he bought from Germany, he actually knew that Bible better than these reformists and enthusiasts. John George and his family, they read and studied every day. They had no pastor announce to them, though, the forgiveness of their sins. They had no pastor to visit them and to proclaim to them the year of the Lord's favor. They had no pastor to come to them and to serve them body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins and the strengthening of their faith into life and salvation. Until one fateful day, a German pastor came riding through the forest. And I'm sure that the very first words that John George and his family heard from FCD Winneken were these words, Grüße im Namen des Herrn, grace to you in God's name. It is good for us to remember, my dear brothers and sisters, it is always good for us to remember. The Gospels are an account of the work of our Lord here in our midst. Without the knowledge of our Lord's work, faith cannot exist. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the words of God. Just so, without a vivid memory of our past, the ties that actually bind us together are cut. The story of Jesus is told to countless human beings, clay jars that we are. And these clay jars are easily broken. But the Lord provides. You have already heard that. The Lord always provides. Jehovah Yireh. He provided for John George Shum way back in 1838, 39, and 1840. And he will continue to provide for you. So it's right and proper for us to commemorate God's work through the humble servant that he sent here, the Reverend Johann Georg Berger. Today is not about Reverend Berger, though. Today is not for his sake. And today he is not the point. We do not worship John Berger. We only do so, and we only mention his name so that we may remember how faithful God is in maintaining his church, his Zion, even here in the midst of the Black Swamp. And he kept his promise. I'm sure that John George and his family were praying for a pastor. God kept his promise. And he sent to them Johann Georg Berger. We should always remember the words of our Lord Jesus. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ's church. So a little bit about John Berger. He was a devout pastor and probably a very simple man. Now that may be hard for us to understand, and it may be hard for us to understand just how important he was for this congregation. Though little is known of him, we do know that Johann Georg Berger was born on July the 4th, 1816, in Nördlingen, Bavaria. Nothing is known of his early life. The first time that we hear anything of John Berger is that he is a student of the Reverend Wilhelm Leah. Leah, at heart, is a missionary. And he had a very keen interest in providing work, mission work, for these young German pastors to German immigrants here in America. This prompting by the Holy Spirit leads Leah to recruit young men into the pastoral office, and these young men knew that they would be leaving Germany and going to a distant land called America. They had no idea what they were going to encounter. So along with Berger, Leah sends a fellow student, a name that some of you may be familiar with, Otto Ernst. Ernst is quite famous in Adams County. He sends both of these men to America, and they arrive in New York City on September 26, 1842. Berger then travels to Columbus. There he continues his theological education, and he begins serving a congregation nearby. Then the Lord provides. At a meeting in Cleveland, Reverend Vinnikin probably met John Georg Schum, and they probably talked about mission work. And it's without doubt that Vinnikin mentioned to Berger a little congregation, a little log cabin church on the western edge of Van Wert County, Ohio. John Berger may have been scratching his head saying, "Where is Van Wert, Ohio?" But Vinnikin proposed to Berger that he consider taking a call there, for there on the western edge of the county line, the state line between Ohio and Indiana, was a very devout Lutheran and his family. There he would come and he would minister. He would proclaim the word of the Lord in the year of the Lord's favor to a family named by the name of Shum. By the way, for all of you Shums, it's actually pronounced Shum. But that's okay. You have the right to change your name. So Zion calls John Berger to be their first pastor, and he is installed in the little log cabin church on June 14th, 1846. And one of the very first tasks that John Berger undertakes, along with John Georg and his family, is the drafting and the adoption of a constitution and bylaws. That's why John Berger is so important to you. It is by his will and his knowledge and his desire that this congregation be organized that John Berger wrote your first constitution. Therefore, this congregation, strictly adhering to the unaltered Augsburg Confession, By the way, when you leave today, look at the cornerstone and you'll see it, UAC, Unaltered Augsburg Confession. It is by their staunch belief in the confession and God's word that your Constitution was adopted on the 18th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1846. Now, John Berger continued the work of the Lord even after adopting the Constitution, and he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor not only to this congregation, but he also was a pastor at St. Thomas, which you know well, and also to St. John Lutheran in Liberty Township. John Berger served three churches, and he did it with great zeal. Suddenly, our Lord calls John Berger home. Just a month before he and the leaders of Zion were preparing to travel to Chicago to join a new Lutheran synod, a more confessional conservative synod, known as the German Evangelical Lutheran Church of Missouri, Ohio, and the other states, which we know today as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And by the way, for all of us Lutherans and as Missouri Synod Lutherans, that is the official name of our synod, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Reverend Berger died of pneumonia on March 26, 1847. He was only 31 years old, and he is the only pastor, and I encourage you to visit his grave today, the only pastor who is at rest across the road in your cemetery. So this day we give thanks. We give thanks not to John Berger. We give thanks to a gracious and merciful Lord who sent a faithful man and will continue to send faithful men to you, as he has done for these past 175 years. These men will come and they will proclaim to you the truth of the word of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. They will rightly administer the sacraments and they will visit the sick and the shut-in. That is their calling. That is my calling. And we will do it with every fiber of our body. Yes, the mantra of our synod, the mantra of our religion, if you will, must always be sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, solus Christus, by grace alone, by faith alone, by scripture alone, because of Christ alone. And so Reverend Berger pointed to the one. He pointed to the Son of God, who was born a humble birth, a miraculous birth of the Virgin Mary. He pointed to Jesus the Christ as true God and true man. He preached about Jesus and only Jesus. Remember who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. That's who we worship. Reverend Berger and each and every one of his successors have pointed your ancestors and you to Jesus and him alone. We know, as St. Paul teaches, that no human being is justified by works of the law. Dearly beloved, never look to the world. There's no salvation there. Dearly beloved, never look to the strength, your strength or your weaknesses with which you may believe. There is no salvation there. Never ever look into your heart, wicked as it is, for we know that there's no salvation there. Here is where salvation is, in your Lord alone. It is he who has gone to the cross and died for you, and it is he who rose on the third day. And it is by that rising that John Berger and each one of you will rise at the sound of the trump. So therefore, look to Jesus and look to Jesus alone. He is your only comfort, your only hope, your only joy. Look and see that he has done all things well, and he has done them for you And he will continue to do that for you, no matter what may come. Look and see that Jesus has earned the Father's favor for you. Look and see that Jesus came to keep the law, and he did it for you. Look to see that Jesus came to suffer and to die for you in your place. Look and see what Jesus has done at the tomb. The tomb is still empty. It will always be empty. And one day you too will rise from your tomb. Jesus did this for you. And so it is the Son. It is the Son who has set you free. And since the Son set you free, you are free indeed. This is why today and every day we should give thanks to our Lord. As we remember John Berger and every pastor who he has sent to you, we know that the Lord is faithful. That he sent a humble man from Germany to a dark, bug, snake-infested swamp in western Ohio to shine the light of the Holy Gospel to a people who were yearning to hear that gospel, who were yearning to eat and to drink. And that is your yearning also. So it's better for us to remember, to always remember, and to believe in the one whom John Berger pointed your ancestors to, and who you are now pointed to, Jesus Christ, your Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, let's close with a prayer, and we're going to close in maybe an unusual way. I ask you to rise and grab your hymnal and turn to hymn 467 and leave it open. You're going to sing it anyway. But let's pray together the seventh stanza of hymn 467. The seventh stanza of hymn 467. Let us pray. Grant then, O God, where'er men roam, that when the church bells are ringing, many in saving faith may come, where Christ his message is bringing. I know mine own know me, ye not the world my face shall see. My peace I leave with you. Amen. Keep your hymnal open, and we will now sing this hymn, and after the hymn, we will gather our offering. Please be seated.
pray for the church on earth, that you will rule, protect, and guide her. Deliver us from the works of the devil, and shelter your flock with your love. Give us grace that we may take part in extending your kingdom in our time, keeping and preserving the treasure of the gospel for generations to come. We pray for the nations of the world, that there may be a sense of security and well-being in every place. And we pray earnestly for our beloved nation. In mercy, send us peace in our time, for there is none on earth but you, Lord, to defend us and fight for us. Grant abiding peace and the blessings of freedom. We pray for our families. As we thankfully reflect on the life of John Berger, we bless you, O Lord, for the care that he received through his parents from the time of his birth. Grant that all of us may treasure the children in our lives and serve them with loving care, heeding your call to bring the little ones to you for your gracious blessing and directing them into the paths of righteousness and every Christian virtue. We pray for all who ministered to us through their callings. As we reflect on the called servants whom you have sent to this congregation, we thank you, O Lord, for all who are employed in manual tasks, including farmers, construction workers, and all those who daily toil brings blessings to us. We thank you for the devotion of mothers and fathers and all family members who create loving homes in which children are raised. May their guidance direct us, their witness inspire us, and their love support us all our days. We pray for all those who serve in the armed forces, who protect and defend us. We ask for your blessings on chaplains, on active duty, and those who serve with reserve units, that they may carry out their duties with integrity, in witness to the power of the gospel, as the love of Christ in all things. We pray for those with special concerns and needs this day, those who are ill, those who are grieving, the unemployed and underemployed, the chronically ill and shut-in, those who are facing challenges in life, and all others whose needs for God's gracious visitation are known to us, including Marvin Grody, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, Leah Spangler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. Lord, may your holy angels be with them, that the evil foe may have no power over them, and that, according to your will, they may find restoration and wholeness. Merciful God, we bless you for the saints who have completed their earthly journeys and who now rejoice in the fullness of your heavenly kingdom. On this day, we rejoice that you sent your servant John Berger. Lead us to follow in the way of those faithful men and women who have gone before us, so that we may at last rejoice together eternally at your throne. Hear us for the sake of Christ alone, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. humbly now our thanks we offer, all unworthy though we be. Freely thou hast showered blessings, countless as the ocean sands, blessing rich and overflowing on the labors of our hands. Thou didst guide our father's footsteps to this land we hold so dear, lengthening the cords and curtains of their habitation here, strengthening thy temple's pillars as thou hast from age to age, giving us their sons and daughters an abiding heritage. Grant that we thy word may cherish and its purity remain. Lord, unless thou art the builder, all our labor is in vain. Keep us from all pride and boasting, vanity and foolish trust. Please be seated. Just a couple of announcements for you. And you see the calendar. We just want to reiterate that there will be an Easter breakfast next Sunday at 8 a.m. And that is being hosted by Our Lady's Aid. And we know that everything will be very, very good. With that, all the other announcements are in the bulletin. As we have been doing with our heritage celebrations, our anniversary celebrations, we'll now read the names of those confirmed. And it's a long list, that's okay, 2000 to 2020. If we mention your name and we misspell your name or we mispronounce your name, please forgive us. Some of you ladies have your maiden name along with your married name. Some of you don't. That's because I just didn't know or didn't remember. That's my fault. Please don't scourge me. Please be gentle. And with that, we'll begin reading our names. Our seminarians will assist me. I greatly appreciate that, and we'll begin with Thomas as he begins reading from the year 2000.
The confirmands for the year of 2000: Aaron David Volkert, Jason Bradley McCullough, Thomas James McCullough, Amber Marie Rehm, Nicole Schaefer, Jen Nicole Schwartz. The confirmands for 2001: Matthew Kenneth J., Betsy Eliza, or Elise Gamble, Brock Benjamin Rehm, Kate Marie Schum. The confirmands for 2002: Brittany Allison Elizabeth Heitkamp, Anna Marie Kiefer, Cody Michael Meyer, Natalie Lynn Parrish Gibson, Nicholas Alan Regal, Cameron Andrew Rehm, Rebecca Aaron Rehm Anger, Lauren K. Rehm Roth, Jamie Janelle Schwartz Falkenstein, Stacy Butler, adult. The confirmand for 2003, Lucas Christopher Hartman. The confirmands for 2004, Marcus Tate Anthony Heitkamp, Kara Lee Hummel Rhodes, Jacob Daniel Kiefer, Jonathan David Rowe, Timothy Allen Scheller, Schmeller, Jenna K. Rowe, adult, Matthew Brown. The confirmands for 2005, Kayla Jo Heilman, Erica Daniel Hummel, Marcy K. Bates, Kevin Eugene Scudder. The confirmands for 2006, Danielle Nicole Matthews, Caitlin Rose Ream, Adam Thomas Schlemmer, Nicholas Harold Stratter.
The confirmands of 2007, Michael Dean Etzler, Dylan Presley Hartman, Brandy Nicole Ream, Stephanie Michelle Ream, Jared Matthew Schwartz, Justin Dwayne Schwartz, and Jeffrey Gordon Thomas. The confirmands of 2008, Rebecca Jo Baker Cullough, Peyton Anna Elizabeth Heitkamp, Sean Michael Mendez, Haley Sandra Ream, David Lechner, Elizabeth C. Kiefer, Catherine Audrey Doner, Joseph John Honeycutt, Trevor James McCullough, and Zachary Dwayne Crick. Confirmands of 2009, Tyler Robert Matthews, Philip Jordan Schlemmer, Adam Michael Schum, Joshua Shane Schwartz, Jordan Allen Strader. The confirmands of 2010, Cody Lee Carmine, Jason Eric Etzler, and Courtney Lee Grody. The confirmands of 2011, Tessa Hope Honeycutt Vogel, Bethany Renee Schlemmer, Amy Renee Baker, Leona Brown, Kevin Joseph Emmanuel McDonald, Brandy May Honeycutt McDonald. The confirmands of 2012, Braden Allen Baker, Joshua Morton Lee Beals, Jamie Brooke Heileman, Tanner William Matthews, Ronald Frederick Schum, Prabhu Austin Salway, Beth Ann Baker, Dana Schwartz, and Rodney Wilson. The confirmand of 2013, Benjamin Charles Schlemmer.
For 2014, Andrew Aaron Baker, Bailey Lauren Bates, Corbin Ryan Lee Becker, Paige Mercedes Carmine, David Henry Hank Etzler, Lillian May Elaine McDonald McVetty, Brent Lawrence Schum, Nathaniel Wayne Baker, and Marie Nicole Meese. For 2015, Kendall K. Rowe, Angela Nicole Dooley Schum, Kathleen Hakes, Samantha Eileen Hakes, Tasha May Schum Teeple, Mark David Yoder. For 2016, Ivy Jordan Renee Becker, Ansley Nicole Birch, Thomas Anthony Etzler, Jordan Dean Schwartz, Dallas Richard Agner, Trent William Gamble, Anthony Joseph Heckler, Matthew Craig Manley, Alicia Ann Schum Manley, Natalie Lynn Rowe. For 2017, Bo Noel Bates, Kenton Daniel Buddy Rowe, Austin Art, Karen Utterback Art, Michael Hayes, Elizabeth Honeycutt, Amanda Rehm, and Cody Vogel. For 2018, Carissa Lynn Frederick, Alexis Nicole Parrish, and Natasha Pearl Honeycutt. For 2019, Talon Avery Paul Becker, Olivia May Heckler, Garrett Michael Manley, Kaylee Nicole Parrish, Kale Frederick Rowe, and Mason Adam Shelton. And finally, 2020, Samara, S-A-M-A-R-A, I know how to spell, May Elaine McDonald, Timothy John Honeycutt, and Max Trevor McVetti. God's grace to you all. It was my earnest prayer that everyone on this list would be in church. But we know that they can't all be in church, but we pray that they would be in church. God's grace to you all. Now, please don't leave. The Ladies' Aid and the Anniversary Committee is hosting a potluck, a carry-in for all of you. God's grace to you all.